Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount in this last Sunday before Lent. And maybe he's getting us into the mindset of Lent here, of a more intense spiritual time, throwing down the the challenge that is living the Christian life. Jesus calls us to live the Ten Commandments from the fullness of hearts transformed by his grace, not merely to obey them in our actions. Whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Jesus emphasizes forgiveness over and over in his teaching, because on an individual level, this is often the most difficult one to live out. People will hurt you, and that can enslave you, or you can place that anger in Jesus' hands. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was a mission of reconciliation, which became a mission he has entrusted to his church. Jesus brought our suffering to the cross. He had plenty to say to the Sadducees and Pharisees in his life, but when it came down to it, he remained silent. There are things about which anger is the just response, but we can't hold on to it. All of us have to die. And you can't take your anger with you to the grave, or it will keep you out of heaven. Jesus brought all his anger at those who caused his little ones to sin, his anger at the hypocrisy of those who should have known him best, those who had his words on their lips but kept their hearts far from him. He brought his sadness at those who rejected him, at Judas and those who would imitate him down through the ages. He brought all that to the silence of the cross. He brings that pain, sorrow, anger that he would have justly felt to the silence of death. Jesus has no words of defiance or condemnation for the Pharisees from the cross. Just, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His anger lasts but a moment, his favor through life. He invites us to bring our anger into the silence of our own sharing in his suffering, our union with him there. Whoever divorces his wife unless the marriage is unlawful causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. This is probably the most challenging statement of Jesus on a societal level. We are way past divorce. We have open relationships, alphabet soup identities, now AI relationships. But in some sense, this is nothing new. Whenever the gospel is proclaimed to a pagan culture, the greatest obstacle to its acceptance is often some aspect of the church's teaching on marriage. With the pagan society of the Roman Empire, it was divorce, the fidelity and permanence of marriage. Especially if you're a member of the noble class, but really for all Romans, you married for status, alliances, money, and people sought out other relationships on the side. Divorce was very easy and socially acceptable. You found a younger wife if you did well for yourself, or a different husband who is more ambitious. When the gospel was preached to the Germanic tribes, there was the resistance to the idea that, no, you can't marry your cousin. We found this rather enlightening about certain parishes in a westerly direction, but I have no further comment there. Among the natives in the Americas, it was polygamy, and still is in parts of Africa. So as we look at our own context in 21st century America, well, we may not have yet discovered a right to polygamy in the 14th Amendment, but the fidelity, totality, permanence, and fruitfulness of marriage are totally disregarded. In many contexts, contradicting these ideals is celebrated. Now, maybe if you have a good marriage that lasts for 50 years, that's great. That's good for you. But you just can't expect that of ordinary people. Ask that of people with ordinary problems. They've got to do what's best for them. You got to cut out people who don't respect who you are or who get in the way of you living your life. This is what modern society proclaims. And for this reason, faithful, fruitful, holy marriages are a real countercultural witness. I mean, if you think about how secular society today looks at somebody who's been married for 50 years, it's the way that they used to look at the saints. Oh, you know, Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, yeah, they're really great. They really got something, but they just exist on a different level. They live a different life. They're not quite human. But no, the saints are the most human, man fully alive as God desires him to be. And so you are the light of the world. There's a lot of people who don't get married at all today. And I'm one to be talking, but woe to me if I just become another bachelor living my life on my terms. Now the priest is a concrete sign of Jesus' enduring love and fidelity toward his bride, the church. And if I may speak to the young people in particular for a moment, why do we want you when you're called to marriage, many of you, to get married in the church? Well, the union of marriage is not only a union of bodies and hearts, but of minds and souls as well. It is a spiritual union, a giving of one's entire self to the other person. You entrust not only your present self, but your future self to them. And even on a natural level, that gift is meant to be irrevocable. But society unnaturally rejects its creator and our human nature given to us by him. And so there is no support from society for a lifelong marriage. And you look at yourself and know there are many things that you don't know about yourself. You can't be the guarantee that such a vow will last a lifetime. So that's one reason why many people my age-ish aren't getting married at all, or not until they've been living together 5, 10, 15 years. Trying to establish a precedent of fairness, of conditional love, and hope that somehow that creates a greater certainty. But in fact, you cannot be united with another person in marriage without uniting your eternal future, the salvation of your soul, to theirs to a large extent. That you, all of you, have been given the life of grace. And in marriage, you give that part of your soul to them as well, which is the deepest and most central part of your being, the life of God within you. Which is why when you look for a spouse, we want you to find someone to share the faith with, someone who understands that part of who you are. You have been changed by your baptism and confirmation, not to mention all the times that you've received communion and the sacrament of penance. Some of those changes can never be taken away, no matter how far you wander from God. So when you give your love to someone, you want them to have been transformed by God's love as well. Because you need his love and the help of his grace in the sacrament. If it is withheld, then you cannot have a true marriage. Now, Jesus calls us to be saints in his words today. There were many in Jesus' day who were not ready to be freed of the law. They wanted the assurance of God's approval and of material prosperity and blessings in this life if they just did what they were told. Jesus presents a radical vision. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. We are not living for this world. We are living for the next. And achieving it is worth any sacrifice necessary. But it starts with little things. Do not murder is a lot easier than do not be angry. But if we allow anger to change our heart in small ways, day in and day out, then we have a murderous heart. If we allow Jesus to transform our heart in small ways, those small changes over the course of a lifetime will make for a much different destination at the end of a life than if we had not opened ourselves to grace day in and day out. If we fail in the little things, if we make room for anger and lust, we try to serve God and mammon, God and ourselves, we may still call ourselves Christians, but we have aligned ourselves to the world and will end up experiencing hell on this earth when anger or lust shackle us and for all eternity. If you want to be people of this world, the world will eventually betray you. But if you are faithful to Christ and his word, Christ will be faithful to you. He is faithful to you. And those little things that you do to please him, those little ways you open yourself to his grace, they may not seem significant, but they will change the world by being channels for his transformative love to break into it. And they will make you a saint.